Blog Talk Radio.
Going back, I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. And the word that God gave me early this morning is be holy. That's our title for today. Be holy. Be holy. You know, as was spoken at our women's conference on Saturday, we got to get out of the gossip factory. He said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. You know, and that's some of me paraphrasing. But we got to get out and start doing what we have to do. We have to be holy. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to serve God. Get out of the foolishness. Don't let folks pull you into the he said, she said. You know, you got to start setting yourself apart from the gossips. You know, Paul talked about it in the word. You know, we can't get involved with that stuff. So I say this morning, be holy, for we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we got to start acting like our Father. Be holy. Be kind. Be nice. Think about others besides yourself. We are getting ready to get into flu season. Get your medication. Get your prayer oil and start oiling up because it's going to be rough. That with COVID and variants coming because we have not attained herd immunity because there are those who feel they don't need to be vaccinated and they don't need to wear masks. That will be between them and God. And that's, you know, I got angry about it at one point, and then God worked with me and said, be holy. Pray for them. Pray for all. Don't get angry. And that's the truth. We can't get mad. Well, I'm angry. I'm mad because they need to put on their mask. They need to do this. They need to do that. Again, between them and God. We got to get out of the trying to tell folks what to do business, and that's on every side. Because these same people are the same ones making laws, telling women what they can and can't do, but yet they don't want anybody to tell them what they can and can't do. It's all the same. Sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. We just have to do what God says to do. And if God puts it in your heart to wear a mask, wear your mask. Put it in your heart to be vaccinated, get vaccinated. Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said. What did God say? And again, it goes their way. If you choose not to listen to God because you're involved with politics and, you know, and made this life-threatening thing called COVID-19, a political thing, and you die, you got to stand before God And when God says, I told you to get vaccinated, he said, but I thought I was being right. I thought I was being faithful. I thought I was being believer. And God said, what did I say? You listen to the commentator here. You listen to pastor here. But you didn't listen to me. And then the opposite. If God said, I told you not to get vaccinated and you died. Well, I told you not to get vaccinated. Well, the CDC said, and the president said, and so I, what did I say? So we got to understand, we have to do what God says for you. But you got to make sure you're hearing God's voice and not the voice of the snake, because he's really sneaky. And he will tell you what you want to hear, not what God says. So remember that as you go through. Again, no judgment on my part. I used to get angry. I'll tell the truth. But God worked with me last night about having a judgy spirit. And I said, I had to ask for forgiveness. So I said, again, forgive me, Lord, for my judgy spirit. Because I'm going to have to stand before you just like everybody else. As our word was talking on yesterday, we all have to stand before Jesus Christ. We all will be judged. And all we can do is ask God to guide us. That we will walk in light and not in darkness. That we will walk in right and righteousness. And not in evil. We must trust God in everything we do. And know that God is the author and the finisher of everything. And again, I personally will be wearing a mask. Because I know my situation. And I trust God 100% that I will. In Jesus' name. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus as we study your word, as we read your word, and as we allow your word to marinate in our hearts, minds, and spirit. Lord God, let this meditation be acceptable to you, Father God, as we move forward in your word. Believing and trusting, Lord God, that all things will work for our good because we trust and believe in you. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and my humble heart, Lord God, let the meditation of my humble heart, God, let my heart be humble, Lord. Let my words be your words, not my words. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And I am thankful that you are my redeemer. And that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I pray, Lord God, those that are shut in, those that need more time with you, Lord God, I pray that we all get it right before you call us home. In the name of Christ Jesus, I look up, I lift up, I give you honor, glory, and hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, I greet you this morning, thanking you for joining us as we move forward through the Word of God. And the Word, again, this morning, our title is simple. Be holy. I was looking and I was praying and I was saying, okay, God, what is the title for this morning? And I'm going off through the Word, okay, God, unequally yoked and all these things, because that's also in our word that, you know, you should not be unequally yoked to a non-believer. It's simple. Be holy. Be holy. You know, so many times we want to be wise in our own eyes. Simple. Be holy. Be holy. Because we're getting ready to get into that prophetic word from Isaiah. And I'm going to tell you, wow. Wow, that's all I can say. Because we understand history unknown is history repeated. And history goes in a circle. And it does repeat. It sits and it repeats. If you don't learn from it. And this is Isaiah. In a word. And it's not nice. It's not warm and fuzzy and sweet and cozy. It is harsh. And it is a word that we need to know. Because Egypt could be any country. Not just the Egypt of Africa, but Egypt of any country. We need to listen to this word and make sure we are taking it in. This is Isaiah chapter 19. So I'm going to give you the words that we're reading today. For those that are just joining this experience called Moving Forward, this is a Bible reading, Bible study program. The Bible is read because there are those that are shut in, those that cannot go into the church, those that need a word from God, and they get it directly from the word of God. Not hooping, hauling, running here and there. This is a word of God, and I allow the prophets and the apostles to preach the word. If God gives me something, I will say it. If not, I will keep my tongue behind my teeth and keep on reading. But the goal of this broadcast and this show is to read the Bible in 1 year. Year reading the Bible in a year. Before, we just would just read until we got finished. And then God put it on my heart on last year to read it in a year. And so for the next 2 years, if God willing, and there's a saying, the creek don't rise, we will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a year. Genesis chapter 1, Revelation 22, verse 21, in 1 year. And this year I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. The commentary is Dr. Stanley's, and this is our second year of Dr. Stanley's Bible. Last year we started, I believe, it finishing up another Bible. And I think the Greek Hebrew Bible we were finishing up last year. And so this year we are doing it. We started in January, and God willing, we'll finish on December 31st. It's such an awesome, awesome word of God that I can't even imagine what we would do without God's word. Pray for our brothers and sisters in countries where the word of God is not allowed to be reread. We have to read the word. It is our foundation. It is our biblical principles before leaving earth. We've got to stand on the word of God. So let's get started. Again, Isaiah chapter 19 through chapter 20, verse 6. Psalms 106, verses 40 through 48. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. And our title is actually coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. let's get started. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1. The burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their council, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the Medians and the sorcerers, and the Egyptians I will give into the hand of cruel masters. And a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. The waters will fail from the sea, and the rivers will be wasted and dried up. The rivers will turn foul. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river will wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishermen also will mourn. All those will lament who cast hooks into the river, and they will languish who spread nets on the waters. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed, and its foundations will be broken. All who make wages will be troubled of soul. Surely the princes of Zion are fooled. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has proposed against Egypt. The princes of Zion have become fools. The prince of North are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt. Those who are the mainstay of its tribes, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. And they have caused Egypt to err in all her work. As a drunken man staggers in his vomit, neither will there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, palm branch or bulrush may do. In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it. And the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he has determined against it. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors. And he will send them a savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike. He will strike the heel and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hand, and Israel my inheritance. In the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and took it. At the same time, the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt their glory. And the inhabitants of this territory will say in that day, surely such is our expectation. Wherever we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? Wow, what a word. And Dr. Stanley has some life lessons for us this morning. The first is for Isaiah 19 and 20, which says, he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. We expect the Bible to tell us of a Savior coming to deliver Israel, but this text speaks of a Savior coming to rescue Egypt, Israel's longtime nemesis. God is a global God, and he wants to bless all peoples. Amen. Our God is a global God. We better understand he can be everywhere, every second, every minute, every hour. The Lord God sees you in your good, your bad, and your downright ugly. God sees it all and knows that you were going to, and knew that you were going to do it before you did it. We need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins, seen and unseen, known and unknown, in Jesus' name. Isaiah 19:25, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. In the Exodus, severely judged Egypt. He destroyed Assyria after the deportation of the northern kingdom, and many times he judged rebellious Israel. Yet God loves to show mercy, not exercise judgment. God wants to be merciful to us. We just got to be ready, willing, and able to hear and to know that God is being merciful. I thank God this morning for his grace. I thank God this morning for his goodness. I thank God for all things are from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 20:2, remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. God will take extraordinary measures to get our attention when we have walked away from him and stand in danger of severe discipline. Is he trying to get your attention right now? I know he's getting mine. Hallelujah. He's getting my attention. We better understand everything is for a reason and a purpose. God has got my attention, and I pray he's gotten yours. Hallelujah. We got to know who our Father is and that he does not play. Psalms 106, verse 40 through 48. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. And those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjugation under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. One more time. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. And for the Holy Spirit, one more time. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. The Lord. And I'm going to say it two more times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are blessed beyond measure, family. All we have to do is stand on God's word. But he loved us like that. We are blessed. Truly blessed. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew, this word is going to make me shout this morning. And as we continue, it says Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. Oh, hallelujah. A refreshing. We all need a refreshing in our lives. We all need to be refreshed sometimes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. And as we continue this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And for those who like to quote scripture, you know, you're unequally yoked is in chapter 6. Walking by faith. You know, we talked about it. We got to understand that God is a God that does not lie. And he wants us to know that he is our Father. And when I said walking by faith, that was in chapter 5. We have to know who we belong to. One more time, we got to know who we belong to. Who do you belong to? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I know my daddy, and I know my daddy loves me, and I know my daddy's got my back, and I know my daddy is always there for me. Who's your daddy? He's God. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah. He's Yahweh. He's Yah. He is Abba Father. He's the one that blew the breath of life into your body when you came out of your mother's womb. He is the one that is with you in the middle of the night when you cry your tears. He is the one that disciplines you when you do wrong. And he is the one that gives you a hug and tells you, well done. We've got to know who our daddy is. And this is the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read the word in context. There's so many times scripture is thrown out there at us, but not in context. And so we're going to do it in context today. When we talk about being unequally yoked with unbelievers, those kind of words that we hear people talk about all the time. Well, I was unequally yoked, you know, because he just wasn't right for me and da-da-da. We're going to get it in context. So let's start in our word today. And if you want to write some things down, because Dr. Stanley is on fire in this word today. And it says this, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You hear me say every day we got to go to work. And so I'm saying it one more time. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in torments, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet are not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Woo, what a word. Oh, Corinthians. And we could put any place in there. Oh, Americans. Ooh. Oh, Europeans. Oh, Asians. Islanders. Oh, Caribbean Islanders. But Paul said, oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own afflictions. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not, I say it with Paul, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we're talking the church. We're talking the church. We're Christians. We're talking believers. We're talking folks that are of the way, the truth, and the life, who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. For me and my house, I will serve the Lord. This temple in you, you are the temple. You are God's chosen. You are a son and daughter of God, and you need to start acting like it. We got to be holy, like he is holy, and we are his children. We are adopted in, and we got to act like it. And it tells us in the word, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now answer that. None. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Praise be the Lord God, who loves us, who causes us to triumph in his name, who has grafted us in. But he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. We have our daddy's DNA. I will be their God and they shall be my people. We are grafted in. We are now, we now carry the DNA of God. We are divine and naturally anointed. Because he said so, we are his. And he walks among us. He puts the light in our darkness. He put the breath of life in each of our bodies. Thanks be to God who gives us victory over death and over the enemy. Hallelujah. Because to die is to live. In Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as worketh together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. We may receive the grace of God in vain in many ways by failing to draw upon its power to live in a godly way by hearing but never accepting the gospel or by shifting allegiance to another gospel. We're going to go real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 4. And it says this, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But I'm going to go back up to the first one. It says, concerns for your faithfulness is the title of this section in my Bible. And it says this, chapter 11, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. But if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You got to be careful. Careful where you go to church. Be careful who you listen to on the web. You know, don't just tune in to anybody on YouTube. Don't just listen to anybody on the radio. Make sure that whoever is speaking is speaking biblically sound and speaking Christ-like. Jesus did not have anything to do with politics. If somebody is preaching from the pulpit and all you hear every Sunday is some political nonsense, get your stuff and walk out. Because Jesus does not have time for that. He's trying to get folks saved and set free and ready for his return. And if all that other mess is dividing up the church, it is not a God. God is not a divider. He is a uniter. And if it's something divisive, it is not of God. We got to get out of the divisive spirit. And I had to, that's why I had to repent myself. Because I found myself becoming divisive. Mask versus non-maskers. Vaccinated versus unvaccinated. What you choose is your choice. But understand the consequences are also your choice. We all have our own burdens to bear. Whatever your choice, it's your choice. And it's your consequences. And that's anyone. Whatever choices you make in your life, be ready to bear the consequences of it. And in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, in the day of salvation, I have helped you. It never makes sense to put off a decision to accept God's offer of salvation. How many have waited too long? And anyway, why would anyone want to delay the joy that comes through a vital relationship with God? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I find myself just praising God all day long. I may all of a sudden a word will come in. All I hear myself saying, thank you, Jesus. Or, I love you, Jesus. I will worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything comes in my spirit. And then I'll hear, you are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. And it reaches to me in the fullness of your grace. I am so grateful that you gave me breath this morning, Lord. You know, I'll walk through and I'll say, Lord, I thank you for being able to move, to be able to live, to be able to have my being because you gave it to me, God. We got to have time with God all day long. It's not just a, I'm going to listen to moving forward and move on. Or I'm going to do moving forward and move on. No, we got to keep God in our heart all day long. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and back on Sunday, 24/7, the Lord should be in your heart. Because he gave you a heart. Hallelujah. And as we get into the last verse, well, we got one more thing, a warning against compromise. But this is the word that God put in my heart. We got to be holy. But this is what we hear all the time. You'll hear somebody getting a divorce, and they'll say, well, we were unequally yoked. But this is a word that this comes from, putting it in context. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You hear that? Unbelievers. This verse usually gets quoted in reference to choosing a marriage partner. And while that's certainly a legitimate application, marriage is not the context here. All of life is the context. And we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. But we're going to go all the way back to verse 27, and it is a simple word. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. And this is that communion word that we hear on first Sundays. But this word is so important because we must examine ourselves. It's so easy to put on your partner, but we weren't equally yoked. What about you? Did you examine you? Because he may be somewhere saying, we weren't unequally yoked. But she didn't believe in Jesus, but I did. And you somewhere talking about, well, he didn't believe in Jesus, but I did. But this is the word of God. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And I'm going to add herself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, this is that word, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. And I am the wrong scripture, but that word was for somebody. That word was for somebody. I don't know who that was for, but it was for somebody. And I'm grateful that God gave it to me. It was for someone. I don't know who, but if you have taken communion and you have not done it in the right way, ask God to forgive you right now. But the word for this morning, for this unequally yoking, effects of denying the resurrection. And I'm going to tell you, this verse, 15 and 33, is one that you need to put in your highlightables, to be in your highlightables, and it needs to be in your arsenal of scripture. But we're going to go back to chapter 15, verse 29, so we have it all in context. And it says, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Hour. I affirm. I'm going to say it again. I affirm by the boasting in you. I have in Christ our Lord, Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with these, at Euphrates, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Because Paul was telling them, Jesus rose from the dead. I know it, you know it, but if we're talking this resurrection and we're talking it in vain and you're denying it, then we're just going to die and we're going to eat, drink, and be merry and just die, no biggie, because we're not coming back. But we believe in Jesus. But this is the crux of this word. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Everybody doesn't know the Savior, and that's what you tell them. Tell them about your Jesus. Tell them about your Jesus. Tell them about your Jesus. There's only one, and I can say this with my whole heart. He loves us. And this is a warning against compromise from Dr. Stanley. He said, God tells us not to be bound to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, just like He told Israel to be separated, pagan nations around them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? We must be careful with how we live, because compromise can be destructive. It can lead us to take a step in the wrong direction, a direction that could eventually lead us to ungodly, harmful actions. This is because compromise is like a slide. We begin with a godly convictions and good morals, but the moment we negotiate with the world and validate the ways of evil, our values begin to slip. Each conciliation leads to a more serious cooperation with sin. That's especially true when we try to nuance our convictions concerning the Word of God. In fact, we take our first step in the wrong direction when we make make judgments about what is significant and insignificant in the Word of God. We start the slide by choosing what we want to believe. From there, each compromise weakens our conscience and desensitizes our spirit to God's command. When that happens, we are in more trouble than we are realizing. When living in sin no longer bothers us, we've stopped listening to the Holy Spirit, who alerts us to the sin in the first place. The unfortunate truth is, when we compromise with evil, we always lose. I'm going to say that one more time. When we compromise with evil, we always lose. We will miss the abundant life God has for us. We will fail to recognize God's wonderful purpose for our life and therefore miss the fulfillment and blessings that are available to us. The more we compromise, the more we will suffer the consequences. Are you heading in the right direction? Are you doing as God instructed you to do? Are you waiting for his timing? If not, get off that sure path to destruction and get right with God. Surrender your life to Christ and obey God in everything you do, because the world can only offer you heartache, never worth giving up the wonderful plan God has for you. And I just say this one more time. Be holy. Be holy and allow God to use you. Because as Paul said, we then, as workers together, well, with him, also plead with you to receive the grace of, not to receive the grace of God in vain. Be holy, for he is holy. And we belong to God. We have his DNA. And he loves us. And just remember one more time, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Trust God today. Believe and trust in his word today. And know that he has your best interest at heart. That's all I got this morning. I thank you all for listening in. If there's anyone that has a word from God, please push the number 1 on your phone. And if not, we're going to have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then it's a wrap, because I get to go spend time with my grandson, and I'm all happy about it. I am happy. I miss my baby. And it says this for this morning. Good morning. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Have a tell it to God Tuesday, y'all. Be holy. And as Sister Carolyn said, have a tell it to God Tuesday. For we are all God's children, and we are all special in his sight. Take care, family. Keep trusting God and keep allowing him to work in your life, because we are willing workers for the kingdom. Have a blessed day, everybody. But before I go, I just have one more scripture that I would like to give to you. And it is my scripture for today. And it comes out of Philippians chapter 2. And it's verses 1 through 2. And it says this: therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Because we want to be equally yoked in our walk with God. Have a blessed day, family. Be holy, for our Father God is holy, and we have his DNA. And it says, what did he tell us? I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are his people. We are grafted. We have the DNA of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Walk in it. Be holy and know that you are special to God. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. It is a wrap.